Well, it's Tuesday morning, another day of It's a New Day here on 1180 WFYL. Mike Levins here. Thank you so much for listening this morning. As always, you can call in at 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255. And now, the question after the South Carolina church shooting. Confederate flag manufacturers ask, is it okay to make it? That is the title of an article at money.cnn.com. We're going to talk about that this morning. I grew up in the South. Now, I was born in, just to let you know my background on this, I was born in New Jersey. My parents are both born and raised in New York, but I lived most of my life in Florida. So I kind of didn't have a home for a long time. They called me a Yankee even though I was raised in Florida. So I was a Yankee living in the South for basically my whole life. And the Confederate flag is still flying down there. If that is shocking to you guys, then you are not informed on what's going on in the South. Welcome to the program. That is not to necessarily point a finger at you, by the way, but that is the norm. The Confederate flag flies pretty regularly. Now, not that everyone flies a Confederate flag in the South, but there are people who definitely do. You see it on big pickup trucks as you drive by sometimes. Sometimes people have T-shirts, they wear it at school. So it's there. But now the question being asked, of course, after the church shooting, and one thing I don't like about this story is I hate how it's being twisted to be purely a... And again, this is the headlines from a Christian perspective. I hate how it's being twisted as... Now, it is racially motivated, and I'm not going to say that it's not. It was racially motivated. But this was against a church, too. And people just forget that they're taking this and making it purely a race thing. This is very much a spiritual matter as well. That this young man entered a church in a prayer meeting, no less. A Bible study. He sat down for an hour with everyone who was a part of it. With the victims, who were soon to be victims. Sat down with an hour of looking at God's word, studying, and then opened fire. No one's really reporting on that. And that, to me, is the real story. Call me biased. And I am. I know I am because I'm a Christian. And that's how I see things. 610-539-TALK. 610-539-8255. The CNN article reads that some Confederate flag manufacturers are taking a hard look internally and wondering if they should keep making it. Now, personally, I never really saw the point. A lot of Southerners claim that it's part of their heritage, but come on now, let's be honest. You know what the Confederate flag really is? The Confederate flag really is a last bit of pride for the South. Whether you want to say it's because they're racist or... And no, not everyone who flies the Confederate flag is racist, although some are. It's a weird thing for the South, but they really consider it part of their heritage. But let's just be honest, though. The Confederate flag is really about one thing, pride. It's about pride. And honestly, I'm not very comfortable with it either. Now, listen, if they want to make the Confederate flag, they could do that as much as they want. But not a whole lot of people fly it. It does have racist ties. I was never comfortable with it. I was never one of those where, oh yeah, fly the Confederate flag, that's no problem. I mean, they have the right and the freedom to do that. They have the right and the freedom to do anything as long as it doesn't break a law. But the Confederate flag never really rubbed me the right way. Rubbed me the wrong way. But that's the discussion now, which, of course, is going to happen. Now, let's talk about this church shooting now. Let's talk about the incident in South Carolina. You know, I was looking at another article stating that there were rallies being held in Harlem saying that they were calling for justice, and I'm sure that there are similar rallies being held all over the country, and people are outraged at this, and they should be. There should be a desire for justice. There should be a desire for justice against this man. He chose his course of action. Learned it is racially motivated. Of course it is. He targeted specifically, historically, an African-American church because he wanted to, at least from my understanding, start a race war from the different sources I've been looking at. Now, what we have to do as a nation is not let him do that to us. Because one thing I have noticed this story has done, it has brought out the white supremacy issue more than I think it is represented in our society. I don't believe that white supremacy is as prevalent as this shooting would make us think. This was the act of one man, a disturbed individual, which should be brought to justice for his crimes. But that does not portray how America is today on a large scale. Because let's be honest with ourselves as well, that this isn't the only shooting to happen in the past years, in the past couple of years of the existence of our nation. We've had multiple shootings, everything from elementary schools to military forts. I think that it is a distraction to simply pin this issue on white supremacy. White supremacy? It's a terrible, terrible, hateful worldview. But white supremacy isn't the root. White supremacy isn't, when you boil it down, the cause of all of our ills, all of our problems. Scripture of the day today, I'm going to be looking at, and this is what we have to be so careful of, James chapter 1, and I'm going to read verse 19. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen. Did you hear that? Maybe you weren't listening this morning. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Isn't it interesting that God, when he calls us to do something, always points back to him? Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Now, let me go on a tangent for a moment. I know that the position that I'm in right now is not exactly one of listening. I'm talking, and I'm talking to you. I invite you to talk to me. The way to do that is call 610-539-TALK and let your voice be heard. It's 610-539-TALK. But I understand that I'm not necessarily in a listening position, and that's the nature of the position I occupy right now. And I understand how that could seem arrogant, just being in that position, and I understand how that could seem like I am violating that very scripture I just read. And again, that's the nature of the position I'm occupying because, well, it's just me right now. We have guests and they come on, we talk about issues. But I host the program. And believe me, this is something that I'm very much aware of. Because whenever I talk about an issue personally, I never want, ever, to rush to anything. And I want to be oh so careful not to pass judgment. Why? And no matter what it is, why? Because I am a sinner, just like everyone else. And as much as I can, I am going to be quick to listen. And I'm not perfect all the time, but that is what we are so lacking today. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth. Notice what he's doing here, what James is doing here. He is pointing to our sin. He's not pointing to our rules, our regulations. In fact, when you look at the gospel sets us free from the binds of the law. The law still stands. But we're not powerful enough to follow it, not without God, not without the Holy Spirit. the answer isn't found in simply forcing ourselves to follow and follow and do better and hopefully we'll do good enough to get to God. No, that's what Jesus was about. Jesus died for our sins that we wouldn't have to be in that endless struggle to try to prove ourselves, which ultimately is always a failing one. But rather points to our hearts. The condition of our hearts in Scripture supersedes our actions in God's eyes. But our hearts determine our actions, and that's even what this book of James is about. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, meaning the gospel, which can save you, which is one of surrender and submission. If the God of all the universe was not outraged at his own crucifixion, but yet moved to love and compassion for those who were crucifying him, who was the ultimate demonstration of love and good, think about how angry we can get when issues arise. You're listening to It's a New Day on 1180 WFYL. Christian perspective on headlines. We'll be back after this.
I'm Jay Farner with some great news on how you could save an average of $3,000 per year on your mortgage. Call Quicken Loans now at 800-QUICKEN to see if you qualify for the government's Home Affordable Refinance Program, or HARP. The HARP guidelines have changed. There's less paperwork and often no appraisal required. Call 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN. Or visit quickenloans.com.
Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Chances are there'll never be an emergency ever again. But just in case, let's talk about a plan.
Okay.
Who is going to grab the go bag?
What's a go bag?
It is a bag we do not have that is filled with things we really, really need in an emergency.
Guess we won't have to worry about it then.
Well, this is great. I am so glad that we don't have a plan.
I know.
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency, who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Jeff Bush here from Informed Family Financial Services, located right here in Norristown. Are you nearing the decision about Social Security? Are you aware of the unique claiming strategies available to you when it comes to your Social Security benefits? Don't make a snap decision. Give me a call today at 610-630-4495 to schedule your no-obligation consultation. That's 610-630-4495. Representative of USA Financial Securities, member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor.
Did you just look down at your phone? You did it again, didn't you? You know, you're flying down the road in a 3-ton hunk of steel, and a text takes your eyes off the road for an average of 5 seconds. At 55 miles per hour, that's long enough to travel the length of a football field and cause some serious damage. Turn it off. Trust me. Whatever it is, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
You know, the tenor against police is not necessarily what you would think or what the news would report. The tenor in police, there are many who still respect our men and women in uniform. I'm looking at an article, actually from a magazine that does the NRA News. America's First Freedom. This is from NRA News. The title, Armed Citizen Saves Oklahoma City Officer. When two Oklahoma City police officers split up to chase two robbery suspects, events took an unfortunate and nearly tragic turn when rookie officer Adam Eller caught up with Jermaine Williams in the driveway of a nearby home. Williams managed to get the upper hand, He took Eller's police baton and began beating the officer over the head with it. At that moment, a passerby pulled a firearm on the suspect and held him until backup arrived. The police officer was hospitalized but was released the next day. Reading further in the article, it's interesting to note that the recent episode in Oklahoma City isn't an isolated one. Last year in Arizona, an armed citizen shot a robber who was holding a mall security officer at gunpoint. In March 2013, another armed citizen saved the life of a police officer who was being beaten by a suspect in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. 6 months earlier, a Texas armed citizen shot a heavily armed murderer who had a police officer pinned down under heavy fire, saving that officer's life. In fact, incidents of armed citizens coming to the aid of officers, often saving their lives, have occurred throughout the country, including Sarasota, Florida, Houston, Norwich, Connecticut, Leesburg, Florida, Charlotte, North Carolina, Ocala, Florida, Renton, Washington, Minden, Louisiana, San Francisco, Rochester, New York, Memphis, Tennessee, Ontario, California, Redlands, California, Fort Worth, Texas, Dayton, Ohio, Canton, Ohio, Inland Valley, California, Alva, Oklahoma, and more. Relatively short article from NRA News. The attitude against police is not declining as much as the media is reporting it is. There are many who still support police officers. And there are many who demonstrate that. The NRA, of course, talking about armed citizens because they are advocating for gun rights, clearly. They're advocating for gun rights, but there are many people who are in support of our men and women in uniform. The riots that have happened the past couple of weeks do not determine one isolated event or many different events, as much as they may be tied together, do not determine the attitude of the nation. That goes the same thing for South Carolina in this horrible shooting against these church members. It does not determine the overall tenor of the nation. Now, apparently, of course, of all things, a white nationalist group that alleged killer Dylann Roof apparently relied on for his distorted information on black rapists is not backing down from its assertions, with its spokesman today condemning the South Carolina church shooting but insisting that Roof, quote, has some legitimate grievances. ABCnews.go.com with this article. Quote, we, of course, categorically condemn his act. See, here's the problem with white supremacy or with any sin, because that's what it is. It's any sin. They're not special. They're not extra worse. They are not lower even than you or I in God's eyes. We're all sinners. As mind-blowing as that may be, that would be comparing normal citizens with white supremacists. It's all sin. But here's the lie and the evil behind this viewpoint, behind this worldview. Here's David Taylor, a spokesperson for the Council of Conservative Citizens. You want to know why a lot of people have stereotypes for both conservatives and liberals? Groups like this have something to do with that. We, of course, categorically condemn his act, but that doesn't mean his motives weren't entirely legitimate. And that right there makes them no different. Saying his motives are correct, but his action is wrong. So his motives, wanting to start a race war, apparently was correct. But you can't reason with some people. And you certainly can't reason with the Council of Conservative Citizens, emphasizing And they put out a statement emphasizing the danger of denying the extent of black-on-white crime. Quote, "It's taboo to even talk about this," Taylor said. "Even as we're speaking right now, a white woman is probably being raped by a black man. If we're going to have any kind of honest discussion of race in this country, you're going to have to talk about black-on-white violence." I've said this before, I believe that the issue of race is not one that so rests with my generation, as we're pretty colorblind. I believe this is something that was passed down to us and has continued to be passed down to us from the baby boomer generation. My generation, we don't see color. Few of us do. But I think I could speak for the millennial generation when I say we don't really care about color. We don't. And for some older generations, that is not understandable. Can't even begin to perceive it because they existed in times where color changed their world, which is understandable. But we're colorblind. Now, you know what the commonality is? It's hate. But not the hate that people talk about Christians have against people who live a homosexual lifestyle, or the kind of hate that people say that these white supremacists even have against African Americans. It is a kind of hate that is inspired from Satan. The kind of hate that will divide us as a nation if we let it. The kind of hate that will change everything if we let it. The kind of hate that we have to watch in our own hearts. Kind of hate that says that we are better than another person. We're all on the level playing field with Christ. Christ, remember, he's the only one, because through him, faith, surrender, he is able to change. He is able to form everything we know. The only way to change us, 610-539-TALK, is the number to call. But I will say that till my dying breath. Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Not just in our churches, but in our world. That's revolutionary. And it may be revolutionary to some of you listening right now. We've got to take a break, but when we return, we're going to talk more about some of these discussions taking place about the South Carolina shooting and a new report on ISIS. What is ISIS doing now? We'll talk about that when we get back right after this.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia, broadcasting freedom, shining light throughout the tri-state area, singing freedom, shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station.
WFYL. Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. With nine people murdered at a black church in Charleston last Wednesday, the South Carolina legislature considers calls for and against removing the Confederate flag from the State House.
South Carolina's General Assembly meets today for its final session of its term and is being urged by Governor Nikki Haley to remove a Confederate battle flag on display on the Capitol lawn, saying its bad memories outweigh its positive symbols in light of the Charleston shooting.
Fox News Radio's Evan Brown. The Oscar-winning composer James Horner is believed to have died in a single-engine plane crash. His plane went down in a national forest in Ventura County, California. He hasn't been heard from since, although the identity of the pilot has not been officially released. Horner won two Oscars for the score and theme song from the movie Titanic. Fox News, we report. You decide.
Did you just look down at your phone? You did it again, didn't you? You know, you're flying down the road in a 3-ton hunk of steel, and a text takes your eyes off the road for an average of 5 seconds. That's long enough to travel the length of a football field and cause some serious damage. Turn it off. Trust me. Whatever it is, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org.
What puts you at risk for identity theft? Do you bank online or go to the doctor? Banks and health insurers can be susceptible to breaches of your private information. Ever give out your social security number or date of birth? Hackers can use it to get loans or drain accounts. That's why you need LifeLock Ultimate Plus Identity Theft Protection. LifeLock Ultimate Plus helps protect your social security number, bank and retirement accounts, even the equity in your home. Obviously, no one can prevent all identity theft or monitor transactions at every business. But you only have one identity. Protect it with the best. Join LifeLock right now, and you'll get a special 15% discount. Just call or visit LifeLock.com and use promo code 15 today. That's 15 today to take advantage of an incredible 15% discount. Act now. This offer ends June 30th. Call 800-520-9106. 800-520-9106. 800-520-9106.
School property taxes are out of sight and going up almost every year. Even if you've paid off your mortgage, you haven't paid off the state of Pennsylvania. If you lose your job, you could lose your home too. But there is hope on the horizon. Harrisburg is considering a bill which will eliminate property taxes for school funding. It replaces it with a broad-based small increase in income taxes and sales taxes. This makes all Pennsylvanians responsible for school funding, not just property owners. Please join us at Montgomery County Community College in Pottstown on Thursday, June 25th at 7 p.m. for a town hall meeting to discuss how we can fully fund our schools without taxing people out of their homes. Town hall meeting, Montgomery County Community College in Pottstown on Thursday, June 25th at 7 p.m. Admission is free.
The American Republic will endure until the day Congress discovers that it can bribe the public with the public's money. Author unknown.
You know, one of my favorite composers is James Horner. And, you know, I studied music, but his music is not particularly fascinating. I don't know why it strikes a chord with me, though. It's not like listening to classical music from the era of Bach, Mozart, or... Well, Bach is Baroque, but Mozart or Beethoven... But it does, for some reason, strike an emotional chord with me. He's composed the music of such famous movies as Titanic, Braveheart, which I particularly like the music for that movie. He has died in a plane crash today, and I can't believe it. One of my favorite movie composers just passed away, apparently, in a plane crash. Quote, "We have lost an amazing person with a huge heart and unbelievable talent." His assistant, Sylvia Patricia, said this on Facebook on Monday. "He died doing what he loved. Thank you for all your support and love, and see you down the road." I can't believe he passed away. That the world is truly changing. And I mean that tongue-in-cheek, but what a sad thing. I love James Horner, and whenever a celebrity seems to die, I don't know why, but it hits us a little harder as a nation, probably because we're emotionally attached to them, and somehow because they've influenced our lives in one way or another because of their public status. And I'm sure people will be upset hearing about this, but James Horner has passed away in a plane crash. And he influenced my life. His music was, again, very stirring for me emotionally. And, well, he's gone now. Well, one more headline to join the stack of headlines this morning as we talk about an interesting topic of this white supremacy issue that's happening in our nation right now. It's been thrust into the public spotlight because of the actions of Dylann Roof, the killer in the South Carolina shooting. Or alleged killer, I should say, because he's innocent until proven guilty, but there is evidence, video evidence, showing him being the one responsible, and he is going most certainly to be convicted of his crimes. But we're talking about this issue of hatred in our nation. What is hatred? What is true hatred? And it could only be encapsulated theologically in one thing. That's Satan. This animosity towards what, though? What is true hatred? Animosity towards God. If God is good, if he's everything that is good, this animosity towards him is true hatred. And not following his laws, not living the way he tells us to, not living by faith, which faith only comes from God, then if faith only comes from God, then we're lost. We're lost, and we have no way of coming back unless it is through God. That is the only way our nation can change. That is the only way any of these issues can be resolved in our nation. It's the only way we'll find our way back is through Jesus Christ, through God. 610-539-TALK is the number to call. Hope that you are listening this morning intently. We're going to be talking about some serious issues. We always do. But it is the morning. I hope you are driving well on your way to work. And I hope you're enjoying your ride, because here we go. Because brace yourself for this one. As we delve a little bit more deeply into this issue. Now, I don't know why, but it seems to be the new hot button is this topic of a race war. I don't know why, but friends of mine have even said that it seems to be something that is being pushed on us more and more and more. I'm not saying that racism doesn't exist in America. It most certainly does. It's always existed. As long as humans will be around, racism will exist because someone's going to be saying that another person is better than another. Always. Always. Always that will occur, whether it's the Jews, whether it's African Americans, whether it's even white people. I tell you, my father went on a missions trip. I've used this example many times. Went on a missions trip to Indonesia. And quite frankly, over there, he saw demonstrations of racism against white individuals. Did I tell you that? Racism is not just confined to America. It's not just confined to incidents like this one with Dylann Roof, because it was racist. It was. Even more disturbing, though, than that, is that it happened in a church. Our spiritual condition as a nation is deplorable. It's failing. And that's why we're seeing so many of our ills today. Until we realize that, nothing's going to change. The only way that that will change is if we turn to God. The only way that'll change is if we turn our hearts, our minds, our souls, everything in us, every living being goes to Jesus Christ. That's the only way things will change. Not through proposing different solutions or regulations. Those always fail. That's why communism always fails. And here's an interesting topic. I'm going to segue. You know, you ever think about why communist countries fail? If you ever think about it, communist countries always fail. And let's think of some examples. Let's think of Russia. Let's think of China, which China actually turned themselves around by getting rid of a lot of pure communism, meaning that pure communism, the government controls everything, absolutely everything. The government owns land. The government owns you. The government owns your property. They own everything. nothing is yours, it's all the government's or the people's, quote-unquote. But we all know that that's not true because it really is the government. There are a lot of people who advocate for communism and socialism, and I would say that you are deceived. You're deceived because I believe that everything is just as spiritual as it is practical and secular here. Communism is the biggest lie purporting that man can govern man and that man is the be-all end-all for all of man's needs that I've ever seen in all of human history. Communism simply says that man is God. That's why they get rid of religion. They get rid of the churches. They get rid of pastors. That's why so many people die, because man is paranoid, because he is not God, and tries to make himself strong by getting rid of others, and in fact, by doing that, makes himself weak and rots out from the inside. And communism eventually falls on itself. Economically, you know why it fails. It tries to control something of which can not only be run by one person. An economy, for it to work, has to have more than one individual. And if it doesn't, the economy fails, which is why we see communist governments always failing. This issue of government control, this issue of government can handle everything, this issue that government is the answer to all of our problems. Yes, you know where I'm going with this, and I'm going with it there to say that government is not the answer to all of our problems, and it's not that I am the answer to all of our problems, or that some political leader is the answer to all of our problems, or that some different law or way of doing things or ideology is the answer to all of our problems. Jesus Christ is the answer to all of our problems. That is the only answer to all of our problems. The only answer to all of our problems is a nation. Nothing will change that. Ever. I don't care how many policies you institute. I don't care how many different ways you try to control people. The only thing that will change our nation is Jesus Christ. The sooner we realize that, the better off we'll be. Because right now, we're going down a very bad road. And that's the only way to change it. 610-539-TALK. 610-539-8255. That's pretty much all I wanted to say about that issue. Now, I guess we can, yeah, we'll move on from this topic now because we want to talk about what ISIS is doing now. Some say the answer is in all religions coming together. Well, let's learn a little bit about Islam. I'll make some very important points here about Islam. And as much as we all can, let's keep ears open. Here's a Fox News article. ISIS reportedly gives away sex slaves, yes, as prizes in nothing less than a Quran contest. How could something so heinous be tied to something that is such a reportedly religious text in Islam? I'm going to tell you why. We've got to head to a break. And when we come back, I'll tell you why is something as evil as slavery, sex slavery, which is modern day slavery in our world today. How can that be so tied to the Holy Quran? That's exactly what we're going to be talking about when we come back from the break here on 1180 WFYL. It's a new day. Mike Levin's here. You can call in at 610-539-TALK. The practice of giving away human beings as prizes, it's called Sibya, organized by the Dawah and Mosques Department in Al-Baraka province in Syria in honor of the beginning of the holy month of Ramadan. It's announced June 19th on ISIS Twitter accounts.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with my Common Core lesson on the Constitution? But the only part we're reading in 8th grade is the preamble and the First Amendment. I wonder when we'll get to study the rest of it. Didn't you say our founding fathers were wise patriots and wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to protect our freedom? This Common Core book we're reading says our founding fathers were racist and they didn't think women or blacks should ever be allowed to vote. She says, we the people. Didn't really mean you and me, but some rich white guys. That just makes me feel terrible about our country. We need to change things.
Oh, honey, that's not true at all. Our country's the greatest country the world has ever seen, and our founding fathers worked hard to be fair to everyone. I'm going to call our school board and our state board of education and ask why they allow Common Core and this book in your school.
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message. Go to nopacommoncore.com or call 484-678-2236.
The Constitution preserves the advantage of being armed, which Americans possess over the people of almost every other nation, where the governments are afraid to trust the people with arms. A quote from James Madison.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. The United States Supreme Court is expected to announce its decision regarding so-called same-sex marriage any day now, and many expect they will overturn the long-standing definition of marriage. Please pray for a different result. But whatever the court decides, we need to educate ourselves and the next generation about the many reasons why marriage is and should remain the union of one man and one woman. That's one reason why we're hosting Ryan Anderson, the nation's leading spokesman in defense of marriage, at our upcoming City on the Hill Youth Leadership and Worldview Conference for Teens. This is the age group that most needs to hear this message. So find out more about City on the Hill today. Space is filling up. To get information, go to our website at pafamily.org. That's pafamily.org, or you can call us at 1-800-FAMILY-1. I'm Michael Gear of the Pennsylvania Family Institute.
Join me, Carla Dedessi, here every Friday from 8 until 9 for Your Family Matters. This is going to be an epic year, 2015, for Your Family Matters. We are going to continue to protect your family, your faith, while we're having fun. We're going to bring cutting-edge news to you, the current events, current resources and tools that are going to give you the best family ever. So strap on your seatbelt and join me for this wild ride in 2015 on Your Family Matters every Friday morning. Don't miss us.
Now, I want to be very careful with this one, and I need to be, in talking about Islam, in talking about what true Islam is as the Quran teaches it, what I believe it is, and what I see what the Quran teaches. Not a lot of people live by exactly what the Quran teaches and call themselves Muslim. But if the Quran is the holy text, and this is what I put forward to Muslims today, if the Quran is the holy text of your religion, then what do you say about exactly everything it says? Then why not follow? If the Quran is the holy text of your religion, then how do you resolve these atrocities which are supported by it? Now, some may say the same thing for Scripture, and I want to talk about that before we get into this. We're talking about slavery. Well, there's slavery in the Bible. Oh, yes, there is. There most certainly is. I can't talk about Islam's slavery without talking about biblical slavery, now can I? Because people will call me a hypocrite, and rightly so if I didn't explain it. And here's the explanation. I think it's a great one, too. You could go to www.gotquestions.org. The question, does the Bible condone slavery? And I think this is a very eloquently worded answer by this webpage. And it reads, there is a tendency to look at slavery as something of the past, but it is estimated that there are today over 27 million people in the world who are subject to slavery. Forced labor, sex trade, inheritable property. As those who have been redeemed from the slavery of sin, followers of Jesus Christ should be the foremost champions of ending human slavery in the world today. The question arises, though, why does the Bible not speak out strongly against slavery? Why does the Bible, in fact, seem to support the practice of human slavery? The Bible does not specifically condemn the practice of slavery. It gives instructions on how slaves should be treated. And it cites some scripture here, Deuteronomy 15, verses 12 through 15, Ephesians 6, 9, Colossians 4, 1, but does not outlaw slavery altogether. Many see this as the Bible condoning all forms of slavery. What many fail to understand is that slavery in biblical times was very different from the slavery that was practiced in the past few centuries in many parts of the world. The slavery in the Bible was not exclusively based on race. Continuing to read the article now, if I go and here we go. People were not enslaved because of their nationality or the color of their skin. In Bible times, slavery was based more on economics. It was a matter of social status. People sold themselves as slaves when they could not pay their debts or provide for their families. In New Testament times, sometimes doctors, lawyers, and even politicians were slaves of someone else. Did you catch that? Doctors, lawyers, politicians, these were not the unprivileged classes. Slavery had a completely different take in biblical times when we read the Bible than it does in the Quran. Some people actually choose to be slaves so as to have all their needs provided for by their masters. The slavery, and that was the culture of the Bible. The slavery of the past few centuries was often based exclusively on skin color. In the United States, many black people were considered slaves because of their nationality. Many slave owners truly believed black people to be inferior human beings. The Bible condemns race-based slavery in that it teaches that all men are created by God and made in His image. And it quotes Genesis 1:27. At the same time, the Old Testament did allow for economic-based slavery and regulated it. The key issue is that slavery is that the slavery the Bible allowed for in no way resembled the racial slavery that plagued our world in the past few centuries. In addition, both the Old and New Testaments condemn the practice of, quote, man-stealing, which is what happened in Africa in the 19th century. Africans were rounded up by slave hunters who sold them to slave traders who brought them to the New World to work on plantations and farms. This practice is abhorrent to God. In fact, the penalty for such a crime in the Mosaic Law, meaning Moses, was death. Quote, anyone who kidnaps another and either sells him or still has him when he is caught must be put to death. That's the biblical take on slavery. Exodus 21:16. That was the Mosaic Law. Similarly, in the New Testament, slave traders are listed among those who are, quote, ungodly and sinful, and are in the same category as those who kill their fathers or mothers, murderers, adulterers, and perverts, and liars, and perjurers. And that was from 1 Timothy 1, 8 through 10. So when we talk about slavery, let's address biblical slavery, how that's economic slavery, and how it is not stealing of someone. See, if I look at the Quran, I'm looking at this article here. The shocking practice of giving away human beings as prizes. This is a Fox News article about how ISIS is giving away sex slaves as prizes in a Quran contest. It's organized by the Dewan Mas Department in Al-Baraka province in Syria in honor of the beginning of the holy month of Ramadan. This is Islam, and was announced June 19th on ISIS Twitter accounts, according to the Middle East Media Research Institute and the Clarion Project, two independent research institutes that track social media accounts linked to terrorist groups. Quote, this is Ryan Maru of the Clarion Project. By showcasing its slavery, ISIS is boasting that it practices Islam in its most literal interpretation, doesn't capitulate to public opinion, and rejects modern interpretations. That same literal interpretation is taught in many Islamic seminaries in the Middle East, by the way. So, I pose this question to Muslims. If this is the literal interpretation of the Quran, again, keyword literal interpretation, not a modern interpretation, what the Quran plainly says and what it meant in its day, just that the Bible plainly says and means what it meant in its day, and for us today, how do you justify that? Evil taking of and giving away women as prizes. Announcement on Twitter. Quote, begins with congratulations to ISIS soldiers and departments. This is on an ISIS Twitter account. In the province upon the beginning of the month of Ramadan, it then announces the upcoming Quran memorization competition at which it says participants will be tested and given prizes accordingly. Statement lists the prizes planned for the top 10 competitors, with the top three to each be awarded a female slave. Quote, winner of the first place will be granted Sibya, which is a female slave who was captured at war. A female slave who was captured at war. That was a practice of Islam. In fact, I'm looking at answeringislam.org right now. Muhammad and his followers fought many battles on, this is Muhammad and the female captives. Some were offensive, some were defensive. Following a victory, the Muslims would take captives or prisoners of war. Muhammad would usually distribute captives, both male and female, as slaves to his soldiers. When we get back, we're going to have some other discussions here on It's a New Day. Don't go away.
This is Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network, and I want to invite you to listen to our new daily live call-in program, Stand in the Gap Today, each Monday through Friday at noon, right here on WFYL. There's never a shortage of topics surrounding how our faith and freedom are being attacked on every front. This program will equip Christians to stand up for truth and to impact our culture for Christ rather than just being an idle bystander. Join this battle for truth and listen to Stand in the Gap Today every Monday through Friday at noon, right here on WFYL.
Hi, this is Nancy Becker, the Recorder of Deeds in Montgomery County. I'd like to read a quote from Mark Twain. In the beginning of a change, the patriot is a scarce man and brave and hated and scorned. When his cause succeeds, the timid join him, and then it costs nothing to be a patriot.
Live from beautiful West Norriton Township.
Norriton Township.
This is AM 1180.
AM 1180.
WFYL.
King of Prussia.
Philadelphia.
Fox News Radio. I'm Dave Anthony. They're doing storm cleanup in the Midwest.
I could not see across the street. We had a river going down my front yard.
She's in northern Illinois, where seven people were injured when a tornado hit. Homes were also damaged and trees twisted apart in Michigan.
We're very, very fortunate. We have had no fatalities reported this time. Minimal injuries, cuts and bruises.
John Baker with the Portland Fire Department. Thousands lost power. Those storms could hit the East Coast today, Boston to the Mid-Atlantic. The U.S. has taken out a terrorist with an airstrike in Iraq. Ali Ani Al-Harzi was linked to the attack on the U.S. consulate in Benghazi, Libya, that killed our ambassador and three other Americans.
He was head of a group called Ansar al-Sharia, which is an al-Qaeda-linked group in Tunisia, and it came together with jihadists in Libya as well as Egypt to launch the attack on the consulate. So this really undercut the idea that it was somehow spur of the moment, that there was at least some premeditation.
That's Fox's Catherine Herridge. About 1,000 searchers hope they're closer to two killers who escaped more than 2 weeks ago, checking camps in deep woods near a cabin where they discovered the two had been hiding out. And there's new info on their prison break. Fox News Radio's Tanya J. Powers, live here in New York.
Court papers say Joyce Mitchell had the idea to conceal the tools she's accused of smuggling into the prison inside frozen chunks of hamburger meat. They also say she provided Richard Matt and David Sweat with the hacksaw blades, chisels, and a punch and screwdriver bit in the weeks leading up to their escape from the Clinton Correctional Facility earlier this month. She's charged with felony promoting prison contraband and misdemeanor criminal facilitation in connection with that escape, Dave.
Tanya, Hollywood appears to have lost an Oscar-winning composer. James Horner wrote the Titanic soundtrack and scores for Avatar, The Amazing Spider-Man, and other movies. A plane Horner owned crashed yesterday in Southern California, killing the pilot. One of Horner's assistants told The Hollywood Reporter he died doing what he loved, flying. Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
What would an extra $250 a month mean to you? For some, it's a little financial breathing room. For others, it's a car payment, a home repair, or help with college tuition. Hi, I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans, and I've got some great news if you're looking to save money on your mortgage. All it takes is a simple phone call to Quicken Loans at 800-QUICKEN to see if you qualify for the government's Home Affordable Refinance Program, or HARP. Folks who refinance with HARP can save an average of $250 a month. That's $3,000 a year. Our home loan experts fully understand the HARP guidelines, and they'll walk you through our streamlined process. And for 5 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction. And this year, for the first time, they've also ranked us highest in mortgage servicing. Call 800-QUICKEN or visit quickenloans.com.
Visit jdpower.com for award information. Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Less than a week after the massacre at a black church in Charleston, South Carolina, a push to remove the Confederate flag from the grounds of the state capitol.
My hope is that by removing a symbol that divides us, we could move forward as a state in harmony.
That's Republican Governor Nikki Haley. The man accused in the shooting was said to be racist. He had a manifesto and was seen in pictures waving that Confederate flag. Making a change would require two-thirds of a vote in both chambers of the South Carolina legislature. President Obama's push for controversial trade authority that many fellow Democrats don't want to give him returns to the Senate. Fox News Radio's Rachel Sutherland, live in Washington.
President Obama is getting closer to gaining the power to speed up negotiations on trade bills, including the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which Democrats like Congresswoman Rosa DeLauro of Connecticut call a job killer.
20 years, our nation's trade policy has been failing American workers.
The Senate will take up fast-track trade legislation today after it barely survived a House vote last week. A tight vote is expected in the Senate, where several Democrats are on the fence about the measure. Dave.
Rachel, red number 40, blue number 1 are dying. Another big food company going natural.
General Mills, which makes the ever-popular Cheerios, says more than 60% of its cereals already have no artificial ingredients. They'll boost that to 90% by the end of next year.
Trix? Dumb! Six yummy colors!
Not anymore. Trix will be among the first to drop artificial flavors and colors later this year, and only four colors will be left. General Mills says it couldn't find natural alternatives to give the blue and green the right color and taste. And it could take longer to find the new formula that keeps colored marshmallows magically delicious.
Lucky charms! Stars and horseshoes, clovers and moon.
Lisa Brady, Fox News Radio.
And Wall Street futures are up the day after a 103-point gain for the Dow, and markets are rising overseas. I'm Dave Anthony.
At the end of his life, King Solomon stated his concluding counsel for all who would listen: fear God and keep his commandments. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. The Bible speaks a lot about the fear of God. It's the beginning of wisdom, which God says in James 1:6, we can have if we ask. But the fear of the Lord is also the beginning of knowledge and understanding truth. It's a fountain of life. It's more valuable than great wealth. King David says the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. When a nation fears God and obeys his commands, their leaders will rule in the fear of God, and he will make even their enemies to be at peace with them. Do you fear God? If so, the Bible says you will hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way. I'm Sam Rohr with the American Pastors Network asking you, do you want wisdom, understanding, knowledge, safety, and confidence? then fear the Lord and keep His commandments, because that's where blessing always starts.
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.